want to talk to you today. We're talking about the different things that we value at our church. And we've talked about one of the things that we value is people that aren't in our family. And so we do practical stuff like we park far. Why would you come and park far? Because we want people who come for the first time to like be able to park close. We do music, you know what, that is lively and festive. And I believe that that's how all churches ought to be. But the music is also contemporary. And I'm not saying, I was raised, I'm just telling you, just so you know, if we had an organ and a piano up here and all we did was sing the hymns, I'm telling you what, I could rock that, man. I could rock it. I would just be fine with that because that's how I was raised. And I love singing the hymns. I love the hymns. Well, how come we don't sing very many? Well, first of all, we do sing hymns sometimes. But we want, even if we sing hymns, they're going to be with the, you know what, with the good beat. Amen? We want to have a good rocking drummer. You know what? Giving it some bottom on it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So we're going to do things in a contemporary way. Why? Because we want people coming in having some way to relate. I wish I had a screen, but here's how you teach. You have a circle of experience of your experience. You have a circle of people who have their experience. And if you are teaching people and all you're talking about is your circle of experience and they can't relate to that, then they won't learn hardly anything. You've got to go to people. That's why Jesus, when he taught, he used examples about farming and fishing. Why? Because that's what most people were. They were farmers and fishermen. And so he went into their circle of influence, or their circle of understanding. So with the lost, we need to, with the people who aren't in the family, we need to be, that's one of the reasons why the Outdoor Fellowship Center is going to be so awesome, because it's going to be seen by the community. What's that all about? And listen, it will be for us. You know what? When we're watching, you know what, the Dodgers playing the Angels in the World Series on big screens outside, you know what, and we're able to invite 275 people, trust me, they're going to come, and we're going to rock it, and we're going, what are we doing? We're reaching into their circle of understanding, and we're reaching them. You know what? And if you think that I'm not going to testify something about the goodness of God, you don't know me. Amen? You know what? Let's glorify God because the Dodgers finally made it back to the World Series. Amen? Right? See, what am I doing? I'm mixing what I understand with what they understand. Boom. And they'll laugh, but all of a sudden there's these guards going down where, oh, all pastors aren't just all the names that they want to call us. You know what? All the homophobic and right? This stuff separates. This stuff separates. And you're like this, and we're like this, and it's just not true. There's a lot that we can relate to people, and we need to relate to people. So that is a shared value that we have. You know what? We talked about the shared value of unity. Everybody say unity. Unity. Everybody say, I do not get on social media and talk trash. Let me tell you what. This is for everybody, but young kids, listen to me. Listen, don't get on social media and talk about people. Don't talk about people anyway, anywhere. I don't know why people think they get on social media and it's like, now I'm free to gossip. You know what I mean? Shutteth thou uppeth. Yeah, somebody say amen to this. You know what? And we just don't have that kind of, we're just going to shutteth thou uppeth. And especially on social media. Because for some reason, there seems to be a freedom to just talk a bunch of trash. And we don't have time for that junk. We just don't have time for it. We just don't have time for this stuff. That's a shared value. And as people come in and they recognize, wow, there's a unity in this church. It's very attractive. Yeah. Today I want to talk to you about the presence. We value the presence of God. Amen. We value the presence of God. You know what? My wife, let me just say, Moses, at one point in time, Moses, they were right ready to go into the promised land. And God was like, okay, guys, I'll give you the directions. You can go. But you guys got a bunch of attitudes I do not appreciate. I'm staying. And I love Moses. He was like, God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. Think about it. What in the world, what kind of message do I have? What kind of message do I have if it doesn't come from God? Amen. What kind of message is that? This is probably a year ago now, actually maybe 2 years ago, and Tamara came up to me one time, and she was gracious because she asked it in a question, and it wasn't accusatory, but she said, you know what, Drew, Pastor Bradford, let me talk about Pastor Bradford. I wish he was still alive because I'd love for him to come and talk to you guys every once in a while. He was just a very big, bold, loud, boisterous guy, but he had this sweet side to him too. So it was just such a interesting combination. But he loved God. He had an awesome church. He really trained up people wonderfully. But where was I going with Pastor Bradford? Oh, thank you. Pastor Tamara came up to me one time and she said, but being around Pastor Bradford, because he liked things loud, everything needed to be mum boom. Oh! He liked it big and ooh, that's just how he was. And I'm not saying we had awesome services, but being trained underneath him, you could get to it. It was easy to become about the production. Yes. And Pastor Tamara recognized that, and she said to me, she said, Drew, sometimes do you think in ministry, you know what, when you're ministering, do you think sometimes you're just kind of in the zone of your abilities and the production? And of course, being the spiritual man that I was, I said, no. And then the next 3 days, the Holy Spirit started to reveal to me, not in a critical way, but the tendency that I had to go there. And listen, let me just tell you what, we all tend to do that. Maybe not in the same area that I would, but there's a tendency. Let me just give for instance. Not that you do this, listen to me, worshipers, but not that you don't. I'm talking to the worship band now. Not that you don't. And so you can lead worship with an emphasis and an ability of your voice and your gifting. And if you do that, you will lead worship at a lower level than what God wants you to lead worship. Because what God wants you to do is he wants to give you those gifts, but then he wants you to be led by his Spirit. Does that make sense? And there's a tendency that we start to take and think about what a slap back in God's face that we have these talents and abilities that God gave us, and then we kind of control them, or we take control of them and use them in ways and won't, and then won't allow His Spirit to be able to direct, because we got this. And we think we got it because of the talents that He gave us. Is this making sense to anybody? And you're like, well, I don't do that. I don't worship like that. I don't. Listen, I know, because I love you guys, because you can't sing. But do you have a talent of, do you have your own business? Are you running a business? Are you running a business for someone else? Do you not, are you married? Do you have kids? Do you, whatever you do, are you doing it on your own abilities, not allowing the Holy Spirit to use those abilities, but to control you? Who's in control here? Who's in control in your life? And at Hope, yes, well, praise God. But sometimes we can, that's what I was doing. I was thinking and saying that, Jesus. But Tamara started to notice that maybe I was running a little bit too on my abilities and running the services that way. And we can't do that. And Hope, we have to value what God is saying to us. Okay, so you ready to learn this? I'm going to go by 4 points, and I'm going to go like boom, 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 boom. I'm going to go so quick, it'll trip you out, okay? We value God's presence. Point number one, we can do nothing without Him. Everybody say this, I can do nothing without Him. Guys, I want you to be quick today, okay? Number one, show me the first verse. John, chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Say, I am the branch. Say, I'm not the vine. I mean, you know, the vine's different than the branch. Okay. I am the vine. It's Jesus. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. See, the only time you're going to bear much fruit is if you abide in him. Okay. For without me, here, you finish the verse. For without me. Okay. Say it like this. For without me, I can do nothing. Ready, go. Point to yourself. For without him, I can do. Say it real loud. What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Say it five times.
Nothing, 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 nothing.
Okay, I'm going to. But actually, I can. No, no, no. You can do nothing that will last. Nothing that counts. There's all kinds of stuff. All our works are going to be thrown into fire, and it's going to see what happens. See, we do a lot of stuff, but it's stubble, and it's just, you know what? It's just going to be burned. It's not going to last. Say, I can do nothing. But here's the next, look at this verse. This is in chapter 5, verse 19. Look at this. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly. I mean, most assuredly. How many know? Don't look at this part yet. How many know what most assuredly means? Yeah, yeah. How many knows what's going to happen after this? Really what? He's going to say something. Yeah, see the pretty blonde in the front got it. And all you are right. All you are right. But he's about to say something that's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, the son can do nothing of himself. He's talking about, I can't do anything. But that he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. Did you catch it? Assuredly, most assuredly, about to say something very hard to believe. I say to you, the Son can do. Jesus says, I can't even do anything. Yeah, but he was the Son of God. Yeah, but he is walking as a man. He emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now he has to depend, just like you have to depend, on the presence of the Holy Spirit. And without the presence of the Holy Spirit, even Jesus, don't argue with me. Here, you argue with me all you want. Don't argue with Jesus. Jesus said, I say to you that I can do nothing. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, here, let me show it to you again. Let me show it to you again. 5 verse 30. Look at this quickly. I can of myself. Said it twice. He doesn't lie. You know why? He said it, and you can believe whatever you want. Jesus said he can do nothing. Jesus needed to be dependent on the presence of God. We need to be dependent on the presence of God. Because why? Because we can do what? Five times. You can do what? Okay, nothing. If you're not connected to the vine. I'm not saying you can do nothing. I'm saying you can do nothing by yourself. Big difference. That's why this is such a shared value. We have to be dependent upon God. Number two, quickly. God is what? God is good and he's smart. Sometimes we say God is wise, but I use that on purpose because I want you to understand. You know, you ever get around somebody who's really smart? Vegas, she's really smart. Okay, and that's good. Amen. God is wise, but you know what? I want you to understand God is smart. James chapter 1, verse 17, you know this. For every good and every perfect gift is from above. It's from above. Anything good comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation in turning. Isaiah chapter 5, or chapter 55, verse 9. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways what?
Higher.
You can do what without God? Say it five times. With God, you can produce much, 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 much fruit. Say it with God. You can produce much, 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 much fruit. Why? So my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. That's one of the reasons it's so important to come to church. Because you start to change your mind in how you think. And when you change your mind to how you think, you start thinking smarter. Amen. Amen. Number one, without God, you can't do anything. Number two, God is good and he's smart. Number three, we must tune ourselves into God's frequency. I've said this before, old school, we used to have these radios and you had to turn the dial. You know what? And sometimes you'd have to tune it in and you'd kind of be creaky and you'd move it a little bit and you'd tune it in. We have to tune in to the frequency of God. Number one, 1 Timothy 1:18 says this, I charge. This word charge can also be translated the same Greek word is translated different places in the Bible. It's translated command. When God one place in the Bible when he gets people delivered from a demon, he says I command you. That's the same word. He could have said, I charge you. I command or I charge. I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, by the prophecies, you may wage a good warfare. So you've got to tune in to the frequency of God because God's speaking to you. He's giving to you a direction and what to do and when to do and how to do it. And you've got to tune into that. By that, you're going to wage a good warfare. Does this make sense? Now, let me go over a prophecy real important. We're going to listen to a prophecy quickly, shortly, about what God spoke to us. And it's lengthy, but stay here, okay? Don't go into lunchtime in your mind. Stay here. But I want you to listen. This was given to us. This was given to us at camp by what was his name? I thought you said Buffalo Johnson. But I'm telling you what, it was awesome. But here's what I want you to notice. I want you to listen with the discerning ear. Because almost the whole prophecy is him just quoting and making reference to different scriptures that are already given to us in the Bible. there are a couple of specific things, but please understand, most all prophecy has got to be the Word of God. And there's times that He'll give you specific things to do, but I'm telling you, there's such a danger. I call them, Tamara and I call them the go and blow crowd. Blow and go. And they blow in here and they blow in there, and they're always looking for a running here, running there, running, getting a word here, getting a word there, always trying to find the will of God. And they'd be real smart, because as they're running there and running here and running all over the place, you know what? They've got the will of God in their lap. Listen, this is really good preaching. And I want you to hear how much of the prophecy is Russell just speaking the word over our life. There's a couple specifics that he gives us, some specific details, but almost the whole thing, that's what it is. That's what it is. So are you listening? Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, listen to the whole thing. Don't go to lunch on me right now, okay? All right, go.
Awesome, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for what you're doing in this internship. Father, we thank you for the promise of Scripture that to those who will study to show themselves approved, that God, you would open doors no one could close. You would close doors no one could open. Father, we declare every highway is made low, every low way is made high, every crooked way is made straight. Father, we thank you that even the prophet Isaiah declared that you make a way where there seems to be no way, that rivers all the time appear in the wilderness. And so, Father, we declare over every intern, God, over every volunteer, over every servant in the house of God, that you would place back on them double everything that they've poured out. Father, we thank you for the heart of a servant. Father, we thank you for the heart of the servant Elisha, who served Elijah. And Father, in the midst of transition, he got double of what was on Elijah. And so, Father, we declare over every intern who's got a heart to serve, a heart to grow, a heart to develop, God, that you would put double on them what they're asking for. Father, we say even greater portion and even greater measure. Father, we pray that you would pour out on them from the top of their heads to the bottoms of their feet, Father, an anointing that resides within, that testifies to the reality of their calling and their gifting. Father, we declare over them what Paul says in the book of Romans, that the calling and gifting of God is irrevocable and without repentance. And God, we declare over them that their calling and their gifting is being developed through preparation, because the destination is so fantastic. And Father, I pray that you would make Hope Church a place of unity, God, a place of community, God, a place of togetherness. Father, we come against any attempt of the enemy to try to divide and conquer. Instead, we say this, that the church unified will advance and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Father, we thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper. God, we declare upon the pastoral staff new seasons of vision, new seasons of strategy. I declare over you what was said about the sons of Issachar, that they would know the times and the seasons of their anointing. And Father, we thank you, God, that like the wedding of Cana demonstrated, you saved the best for last. And so, Father, we declare over this church, over its leaders, God, over its vision, over all of its ministries, Father, we declare that the best days are not behind them, but instead they are ahead of them. And so, Father, we just declare that the best wine has yet to be drunk. Father, the best ministries have yet to be started. Father, the best services have yet to be had. And Father, we say a new sense of the presence and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost will be the portion of this church. Father, I pray that as people walk in before the service even begins, before the worship team plays, before Pastor Drew brings the word, that as people cross over the threshold of the door of the church, they would sense this is a place where God's at. This is a place where His presence is honored. And so, Father, we just declare, and I just see the Lord saying, I am canceling the spirit of witchcraft that has tried to divide, that has tried to conquer, that has tried to cause division, that has tried to cause competition. I hear the Lord saying, I am coming against the attempt of the enemy. We bind the work of the enemy and we loose the work of God in a greater portion and in a greater measure. And I'm reminded of when the prophet sent his servant to the hill to look for a cloud the size of a man's hand. And I hear the Lord saying over you, Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara and Pastor Paul, you've gone to the mountain to look for the cloud the size of the man's hand. And you feel like I've gone back once and I've gone back twice and I've gone back three times and four times and five times and six times and even seven times. And I hear the Lord saying, go back one more time, because I hear the sound of I just hear the Lord saying over you, I am causing a new preceptivity to come upon your ears to hear that the sound of rain is coming. The sound of rain is coming. And it's not that you've never had it before, but I hear the Lord saying, if you thought what was great, just get ready, because the glory of the latter is always greater than the glory of the former. And so, Father, we say fresh rain. Father, we say fresh outpouring, fresh strategy. I just see like the Lord is putting a fresh sword in your hand. Pastor Drew, he's putting a fresh sword in your hand. And he's saying, I'm causing the sword that I'm putting and placing in your hand to be a sword of strategy, and like a surgeon would use a scalpel to carefully cut out everything that would oppose what is growing and what God is doing. And I just see the Lord saying, I'm giving you the wisdom to prune what needs to be pruned so that fresh growth can come. And I just see the Lord saying, I'm even now surrounding the staff, like Moses, who was surrounded with those who would help hold his hands in battle. I hear the Lord saying, I'm bringing Barnabas' sons of encouragement. I'm bringing sons and daughters. And this internship is symbolic of what the Lord is bringing to the church, which I feel like is an army of people who will surround you to lift up your hands. Because I hear the Lord saying, like what was said over Joshua, there's still mountains to take. There's still land to take. There's still property to take. I feel like the Lord is saying that over you guys. There's still another property to take. There's still another property to take. There's still some things that the Lord has placed in your heart that you are like, God, I'm so thankful for everything I've seen. I'm so thankful for everything that we've accomplished. Like, I really feel like the Lord is honoring like your grateful heart. Pastor Drew is saying, man, you guys are grateful for what you've seen, but there are still some promises that you're contending for. There's still some things that you're like, God, when we planted this thing, you showed me some stuff. And I'm grateful for what I'm seeing. I'm so thankful for it, God. But there's some things in my heart that I have not yet seen. And I hear the Lord say, return to the mountain, because there's a cloud with rain, and it's coming. And it's coming. And so, Father, we declare over this church, God, we declare over its leaders, a season of refreshing. I hear the Lord saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I hear the Lord saying, come to me, all who are heavy burdened. Come to me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I hear the Lord even saying over you guys as a team, as a staff, that your prayer has been, God, if your glory doesn't go, then we don't go. God, if your glory and your presence doesn't go with us, we don't go. And I hear the Lord saying, even like what was said of Moses, he said, if your glory doesn't go with you, we won't go. And God responded to him, I will go with you and I will give you rest. And I hear the Lord said that the rest that you are looking for is found on the going and not on the staying. And it's almost been like, God, do we need to stop so that we can kind of catch our breath and get winded and kind of, you know, finally get, you know, feel like we're got that strength? And I hear the Lord say, no, supernatural strength and supernatural rest is coming your way. And you're going to find it in the midst of the battle. And this is the picture that I just got as I was laying hands on you, Pastor Drew. Picture that I got for you and your wife is like you were running a race, like a marathon. And I don't run, but I've got friends from the church who do. They do marathons. And they say there always comes a point in the race where you feel like, I don't even know if I can put one foot in front of the other. And then all of a sudden, something called the runner's high kicks in. And it's like this unexplainable burst of energy that causes you to forget about the pain that you're feeling, because there's a supernatural charging coming to enable you to finish strong. I hear the Lord saying, you didn't just start well, you're going to finish well. And not that there's a finish line that's right ahead of you, but I just hear the Lord saying, I'm breaking off that fear of like, well, we started real well, but maybe, whenever maybe it will just not be as strong or as stable as how it started. And I hear the Lord saying, no. No, it always ends better than it starts. And so, Father, we just say a fresh wind and a fresh fire is coming upon you guys as individuals, and it's coming upon the church as well. It's coming upon the church as well. And I hear the Lord saying, I'm putting upon you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that not only would you know what to do, but you would know how to do what to do. And the Lord showed me a chessboard, and I feel like he's saying, I'm teaching you the strategy for the next season. Because you're not just going to react, you're going to respond. And so, Father, we declare over the church, and even, and maybe I forgot, or even maybe before I knew that, that hope was in the name of your church, I felt like the Lord was saying over your church, it will be a house of hope where dreams come alive. And so, Father, we declare over Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara just a fresh wind of refreshing. I hear the Lord saying over you, you will not grow weary in well-doing. You will rise on wings like eagles and soar. And so I put on you today not a spirit to survive, but a spirit to thrive. And Father, we say over this church and over this community that to the increase of God's kingdom, there is no end. And I hear God saying, I'm putting my increase upon the house that you and I have built together. So Father, we even say that even starting this Sunday, there's like a fresh sense of, whoa, like it's the same church, and maybe I'm looking out at the same crowd, but there is something different in the atmosphere this morning. I sense it. It's changing people. It's changing hearts. It's changing minds. It's causing people. And I feel like the Lord is saying that there have been seasons where you have walked as a couple through the church, and you really feel like, man, we've had people's hearts. I feel like the Lord says, that's coming back. It's coming back. You're really going to sense in this next season, man, we have the people's hearts. And so we just say over you guys as individuals, and over you as a couple, and over this team, over the pastoral team, and even over the interns, you guys are kind of like that support system. And I just hear the Lord saying, be mindful. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000. But what about three? A threefold cord is not easily broken. And what about four? And what about five? And what about six? And I just hear the Lord saying, I don't need a lot to do a lot. And so, Father, we thank you that you are strategically placing the right people in the right positions, and you are strategically, by your Spirit, causing fresh order. Father, we just release a fresh fire, fresh fire. Come on, stretch your hands out toward Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamara Coles. Let's just, for those of you who are standing around them, just lay your hands on them. Just sometimes I get this picture as I'm praying for people, and I've shared this picture before, maybe with one or two, but sometimes I get this picture as I'm praying for people. And it's like, if you've ever read a book outside in the summer, you're just reading a book, and all of a sudden the wind kind of unexpectedly picks up and it moves a page for you. And you're like, hey, I wasn't even expecting that, but it just shifted my page. It just shifted what I was reading. I hear the Lord say, my Spirit is breathing upon you, and I'm turning the page. My Spirit is breathing upon you, and I'm turning the page. I declare over you Malachi 3 and verse 1. That the Lord is coming suddenly to his temple. And it's like, well, we've read all the books and we know how it works, and it's kind of this, you build to this and then you have this, and then it's like a 7-stage steps, and you know it. And I just hear the Lord saying, what has worked for other people won't work for you, because I'm coming suddenly to my temple. And I just hear him saying, just like the wind picks up, sometimes all of a sudden, unexpectedly, sometimes when you're in the valley, the wind, it would just howl right through that valley. I don't even know the geography of even where your city is, but I just see the wind picking up all of a sudden. And I hear him saying, I'm breathing on the church. I'm breathing on the leaders. I'm breathing on the interns. I'm breathing on the worship. I'm breathing on the youth ministry. I'm breathing on the Spanish service. I'm breathing on the church again. So, Father, we thank you. God, we declare it in this place. I'm going to do something just as a prophetic act as I close out my prayer for this team. I'm just going to count to three, and I'm just going to breathe. And you're going to hear it in the microphone. You're going to hear it in the microphone. But I just feel like it's a prophetic act. And I'm going to do it twice. One's for Pastor Drew, and one's for Pastor Tamara. And I just hear the Lord saying, my breath is coming upon you. My breath is coming upon your staff. My breath is coming upon your church. Father, we declare in this atmosphere tonight. One, two, three. Father, thank you. Pastor Tim, one, two, three. Father, we say fresh things, fresh things, fresh things. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.
Amen. Amen. How many receive that? Now, let me tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm telling Tamara what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to give the rest over to her. Listen to me very carefully. Please, I cannot emphasize, I do not want to underemphasize this. 90% of what you heard, 95% of what you heard was him just quoting the word, quoting the word, quoting the word, quoting the word, quoting the word. This is what I hear God saying. And most of what he's saying is just what's already been said. This is the most prophetic book ever, 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 ever. And even prophecies need to be in line with the word of God. If they're not, they need to be quiet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I heard somebody say once, preach in the prophetic. Everybody say, preach in the prophetic. You know what? I've got so many notes. Every week I've got so many notes. If I preached all my notes, you know what? We'd be here till 4 o'clock almost every single week. Well, why do you make all those notes? Because I want to preach in the prophetic. I was sitting with somebody yesterday. We were at the table in my dad's service. And she said this, and I appreciate what she said. She said, Pastor, when you talked about in just recently, I said that, you know what, let me follow you with a video camera and watch what's going on in your house. She said, Pastor, where did you get that? I got that from the Holy Spirit. That wasn't in my notes. I study the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. My dad used to say, Drew, where do you come up with these illustrations and your examples? They're so good. And I'd like to take credit. I'd like to say, oh, I study it. I go over books and examples, and I don't do any of that. Where did I come up with that example? Here's what she said. That example was so helpful because I knew in my life, if you followed me with the video, Pastor, where did you come up with that? The Holy Spirit showed that to me. He showed it to me. And please understand, there's things that the Holy Spirit will quicken to us and show us. And we need to be, as a church, we need to appreciate the presence of God. You don't need a good sermon. You need to hear a message from God. Do you understand the difference? We don't need to sing a good song. We need to worship the one and true living Jesus. Okay. Quickly, the revelation in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to stay in 1 Corinthians 14. First, go with, guys, be on it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I wish you, everybody say all. Okay, here's what that means. You. There's nobody excluded. I wish that you all spoke with tongues. giving us the indication that that's ability, that you can. Oh, I haven't been given that gift. Well, you ask God. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you what? In other words, he's saying, I want all of you speaking tongues, but especially I want to make sure you're prophesying. So you're thinking I'm talking about me? No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us. We all need the presence of God. How in the world are you? See, we need to tune into God frequency. Why? Because he's smarter than we are. He's smarter than we are. Look at this. This is so good. Look at verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Don't be children. Don't live down here. Don't be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes. Be innocent in malice. Don't think everybody's got an angle. Even if they do, don't act like they do. But in understanding, be mature. So you got to hear what God is saying in your life. You got to be tuned into what he's saying. We're so on our own. You know what? We got to do this, got to do that. Stop! Hear what God's saying to you. God's speaking to you. Look at this, verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or believers, they will not understand what then they'll say they're out of their minds. Oh, see, you know what? We shouldn't speak in tongues. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, if all we're doing is speaking in tongues, how in the world is anybody supposed to understand anything? That's what he's saying. Okay, now watch this. And thus, but if all prophesy, everybody say, if all prophesy. But if all prophecy, look, and the unbeliever or the uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. Why? Because everybody's prophesying. He is convicted by all. Watch what he does. And thus, the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. That's a good scripture. See, listen, that's why we've got to value the presence of God. You don't need to hear a good message. You need to come in and you need to hear God who knows your mail, and you need to have someone who's preaching to you the inspired word of God in the prophetic, and you go, oh my goodness, how did he know what was going on? Why? Because then you need to fall on your face and say, God, you know everything. You are real and you're in this place. Are you catching that? Pastor? No. You all need to prophesy. You all need to be, we need to come in tune to the Spirit of God. Oh yes, God has revealed this to me. Well, did God say to say it? Because sometimes God will reveal something, and he's also revealing to you, don't say anything. Or say it like this. We have to be in tune to what the Spirit of God is saying. Verse 31, for you can all prophesy. That's what the Bible says. And then finally, look at this, this last. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Listen, you want to resist God? God says, all right, that's up to you. That's what you want? That's what you want. But watch this. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid anybody to speak in tongues. You know what we need? We don't need a good song. We need to worship the true and living God. We don't need a good message. We need to hear what God is saying to us. You don't need a good idea in how to raise your kids. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of prophecy. And I'll say this as Tamara comes up. the number one way that you're going to tune into the presence of God is to read what he's already said. That's why at our church we read our Bible every day.
Amen. I'm sitting here. Wow, we kind of preached your sermon in morning prayer. That's interesting, huh? We just lived this whole sermon in morning prayer, just led by the Spirit to just walk that out. Even your scriptures were ones that we had talked about in morning prayer. It's interesting because our church is moving into a time and a place that is going to be real different from what we've currently experienced. But as we go there, we're going to go there correctly according to the Word of God. So let me give you some examples what we're not going to do. There's a terminology, if you've been in the church, you're familiar with this terminology, but they talk about the parking lot prophets, where someone will move to find you outside of the service to give you a word from the Lord. This is nothing that we see. The enemy will take that which is God and twist and distort it. Do you understand? Yeah. The point that Pastor made in the prophecy was so, don't miss that point, that everything that Russell was prophetically speaking about us came right from the Word of God. We need to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. He is a perverter. He is a twister. He is wicked. That's where wicker gets its name. The wicker, it's twisted. He likes to take a little bit of truth and then mix it with deception. Because you grab that piece of truth and he tempts you with a little something that's true, and then he gets you, you know what, down a path of deception. So that's what's not going to happen. Amen? And only you can protect you. Yeah. Let me tell you, if a prophetic word is given to you, the wise thing to do is, I'm sorry, who did God put in this place? If we look at our Bibles, what are you called and what are we called? Sheep and shepherd. So what's the job of a shepherd? One of the things that a shepherd does is he protects the sheep. Amen? So let me just say this loud and clear. If you get a prophetic word, you would be very wise to go to your shepherd. Let them know who gave it and what they said. And say, what do you think, Pastor? There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, that's wisdom. Let me tell you what happened to me. Young believer. I'm probably a Christian about a year, somewhere in there at this point in time. And I went to at my church, they had a women's conference, and I went to the women's conference. And when I went to the women's conference, one of the first things that happened at the women's conference is someone met me in the hallway, not the parking lot, but nonetheless, in the hotel hallway, and told me that they had a word for me. And they said, I just want you to know, I'm just sensing that the Lord is telling me that you're not supposed to marry Drew. Now, Drew, it's interesting It's interesting. Now, listen. This is so important that you hear this. Stay with me because we just got a little bit of time. It's interesting because you know why that really spoke to me? Because Drew had asked me, Drew and I were talking about getting married, and he had asked me to marry him. We were going down that path. We were going to go start looking at rings. And this was a pretty big church, and I was kind of new at the church. So that got my attention. Whoa, how'd you know that? How could that lady have known that I was even thinking about marrying Drew? The next day, or that evening, another lady came to me at that conference. And she said, I've had a dream. And in my dream, the Lord said, don't marry Drew. You're to marry. And she gave me a name of who I was supposed to marry. It was the pastor's son at that church. Whoa, this is God, huh? Whoa, how do they all know this? And I'm a brand new believer. I don't even know what to do with this stuff. So when I get home, I tell Pastor Drew what happened. And he says, Tamara, that's not of God. But then I thought, hello, he wants to marry me. What else would he tell me? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, maybe this isn't such a good source. I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? Young believer, forgive my ignorance, but I just didn't know. So I'm not going to let you be ignorant, amen? I'm not going to what happened to me, I'm going to protect it from happening to you. And then I did ask someone in leadership, but the person in leadership, I don't know what to say. It was just quirky, the answer. And did I say I was kind of new at this place? So it's not like I really knew anyone. Anyway, long story short. They all know that part already. Long story short. I went through a thing. Do you understand? Terrible thing. Based on, and here's what happened. Drew got frustrated with me. Here, I can tell you this part. Drew got real frustrated with me. And he said, listen to me. I told you that is not of God. Now, are you going to marry me or not? And you know what? Here's an irony. It's an irony? It was right here in this parking lot. I swear to God. It was right here in this parking lot, right there. He used to preach for his father. When his dad would take vacation, he would come to this church, and he would preach that Sunday for his father. And I had come to listen to him preach that day. And then we came out, and he had his little yellow Karmagia out there. And we were talking in the parking lot, and he's like, he wanted to go get my ring. And I'm like, but the dream, but that lady, like, how did she know? You know what I mean? I'm just confused. Say confused. Who brings confusion? Young girl, did not know. Bless my ignorant little heart. And he said, you're going to marry me or not? And I said, well, if you're demanding an answer right now, then I guess the answer is no. Because I am not going to say yes to something so serious when I don't know. And he said, okay. And he got inside his Karmagia, and he was gone. And I stood in this parking lot by myself with my car, and I thought, did we just break up? Like, what just happened right there? I don't know what just happened. Guess so. Guess what happened next? My telephone rang, and it wasn't this one. It was the pastor's son. Okay, so now, the Spirit of God, see, I ended up the pastor's son was wonderful man. You know what? Nothing against. No. The pastor's son was a wonderful man. Nothing against him. Do you understand this? Nothing against him. We're trying to be cool on time here. Nothing against him. He was very sweet. I liked him. We had gone on some dates. But I was not happy. Do you understand that? I was in love with Drew. So here I think I'm doing what God wants me to do, right? And everything was, you know, the package was a good package, if you will. But inside, you know what? It wasn't right. I mean, it wasn't there. Do you understand that? And so the Lord, I just became very unhappy and very frustrated. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, ministered to me. And he said, I'll never forget this. I was cleaning my car. I lived down in Newport Beach. And I was going to do a detailed job on my car. And I had this tape set that was sitting there that I had never listened to. And the Lord said, put that in. Do you ever get kind of mad at God? It's interesting because I was really irritated with God because everything was just such a mess, you know? I was just not happy. And I really didn't know what to do in my circumstances. And the Lord said, I want you to put those tapes in because I started cleaning the car. You know, you listen to something, right? And so I put the tapes in. And tape, that dates it, huh? I literally put the tape in, and my front door was wide open, and I was detailing my car right there. And I went through tape one, tape two, tape three, you know what? And I just kept flipping the tapes and getting the next one and flipping the tapes and getting the next one. I finished detailing my car. I probably went through three tapes. I finished detailing my car, and I lay down on the floor because I'm just exhausted. And as I'm laying there on the floor, absolutely exhausted, ask me if I was listening to the tapes. I could not tell you what any of those tapes said because the Lord said do it, so finally I did it, but I'm not really, I'm just acting, you know, like a brat. You know what I mean? It's like, fine, Lord, it's in there. But I'm not really listening to it. So I finished my detailing of my car, and I lay down because I'm just exhausted. I'm laying on the floor in my place, and that tape is still running. And the gentleman on the tape says this. He said, let me tell you something. You better watch it when people start coming to you, giving you a word. And he begins to speak on this. I sat up like, you ever see like in the movies when someone's dead and like they sit up in the coffin? I was like that. I was like all flat on that floor like a little brat. And then when I heard that, I just sat up like, whoa, Lord. And I heard everything the man said, and I just began to weep. And I said, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry for being such a brat. Here you're trying to help me. And I'm acting like a total brat. But then I said, what do I do? Now what do I do? Because everything's a mess. So the Lord, and then the next thing that happened, I went to the women's ministry meeting at my church there. Guess what they were teaching on that day when I walked in? How to know whether something from when you get a word or something, whether it's of God or not of God. It was the pastor's son that I was dating. It was the pastor's wife that was teaching the message that day. And as we listened, it was literally like this checklist thing. It was like, no, 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 right down the checklist. And I loved them. You know what I'm saying? I had become close to their family. I loved them. And yet I knew I needed to tell the son, you know what I mean? Because I just didn't belong there. And so I went into the office of the pastor's wife, and I said, hey, And then I had that whole checklist that she had just taught and said this. And I found out after everything, after God straightened everything out, it was about a year and a half later, a lady came to me from the church and she said, I need to ask your forgiveness. And I said, for what? And she said, I knew what was going on and I didn't come and tell you. And then she gave me great insight as to how it had all got there. Things that answered those things that didn't make sense to me that seemed like, whoa, right? The Word of God, be careful for the parking lot prophets. Be careful for the hotel hallway prophets. Be careful. We will move into a very prophetic season here at the church. It's what God is saying. It's what he's doing right now. Actually, he's always been doing that, but I'm just telling you, he's dialing it up on us right now. But as we do that, you know what? It will, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why Russell can take the word and you have no idea? See, you can hear that and it all sounds good. But let me tell you something. You have no idea. See, there when he says he's praying over Pastor Drew and I, and it's interesting because Pastor Vegas is in the room and Isaac's in the room and Joel's in the room and Shayla's in the room. There's other leaders in the room. But he says, Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara, and then he says, and Pastor Paul. Why did he just pick Paul? I know why. You don't know why, but I do. Paul was one of the first ones here. Paul and I would get up at 5 in the morning or something. We were down at the church having these 5 o'clock in the morning prayer things. We would be contending for these things when he said, you know what, you're very grateful and blah, 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 but there's still things that you know that God has said that are in your heart that you're kind of wondering, yeah, that's true. I'll tell you all that God talked about great signs and wonders that would take place when we came here. He told us we would see his power. I don't know if you remember this or not, but Pastor Rob had prophesied way early on when all that was going on, and he said, there's a property. The Lord's going to give you a property. There's a property that is supposed to be yours. We already had this property. And Russell goes back to that. So he said so many things that not only that I know are of God. And yet he's just saying the word. So God, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's very easy to use the word all the time to prophesy what's going on. See, he still has this insight from God of what's taking place at this moment in our life. Do you understand that? And God uses his word to minister to us. Way back early in the days here, when there was this other prophetic word that had been spoke over us, and we were just going through a time here. And the lady said, I see the two of you standing like Joshua and Caleb. And the Lord is saying, and there's these all these naysayers around you. But the Lord says that his anointing is on you. Just go quickly. You know what? And do what he's telling you to do. Now, I could give you all the real 2012 details that were happening here at that time. That so ministered to us. That God took what was happening and whatever year that was, I'm making that up, I don't know exactly, 2012, Drew and Tamara in Pico Rivera, and what's going on right there at the church, and then this prophet, total stranger, you know what, says to us, the Lord says, you know what, that the two of you are like a Joshua and a Caleb, and that he's with you, and he's telling you to go in the promised land, but you've got all these naysayers around you. That was so true. That's what was happening to us. But the Lord says, go quickly. He's with you. Ah. That helped us at that moment to know, you know what I mean? What to do. God used that person to, but was it the word? Yeah. Yeah, it was the word. Amen? Do you get it? Are you getting it? Okay. All right. Okay. I'm a little bit over, so I kind of need to be rushed. So
I just want to make this point, and this is an important point. When she says, we didn't even know that person, that is true. But we're not going to be prophesied over. This person is seasoned in the things of God. Seasoned, mature believer. Yes. And we knew that, you know what I mean? Which makes a whole difference. Am I saying that God can't use people who are less mature? Well, let me say this. Maturity in the kingdom of God is supernatural, can be supernatural. When Russell comes, and I remember Russell come, this guy's, 30-something, but he looks like 20, maybe. And but I'm telling you what, he is grown quickly, supernatural. I mean, just he. One of the reasons he's going to speak here is because he's a mature believer of God, and I can release him to preach to you. Totally awesome. But do not. The Bible even says, don't put somebody who is a novice into a position. Well, if you're not supposed to put a novice in position, you don't sit underneath that person in the parking lot and, just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, I mean, these ladies that are prophets, they're demon possessed. Okay, maybe that's. Somebody hears, they are influenced. And they're not influenced. Listen, the spirit of manipulation is not the spirit of God. Amen. They were influenced by demons. I'll say that.
They were being deceived. Yes. Okay. All right. We will take the prophetic word, because there's much in there concerning our church, and we'll do what the prophetic does for us. We'll wage a good warfare with it. Amen. We'll wage a good warfare with it. The only other thing I wanted to just make a quick point on there, when he's in the very beginning of the prophecy, he begins to talk about the interns. Did you guys catch that? And he says, he's talking about a double portion on the interns and those who serve. Said the servants. When he was talking about the interns, did you guys catch, is it a double portion for all the interns? Hi. Was it a double portion for all the interns? Did you guys hear it? He says all the interns at one point, but then he says this. He doesn't say all the interns, actually. He doesn't say all the interns. He said all the interns who, you're in my notes, who have a heart to serve and to grow and develop.
I wrote that down.
It's not all the interns. It's the interns who have a heart to serve, grow, and develop. No, that's really good. And let me tell you why. Because, and we'll end it with this. Just because a prophetic word is given doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. We're supposed to wage a good warfare with the prophetic. When the prophetic is spoken, people have a tendency to kind of kick back and go, whoa, I'm going to be a nation to the prophets. Did you hear that? Every time I get a prophecy, they tell me I'm going to be a gift to the nations. That's what I am. I'm a gift to the nations. And then they kick back and they wait for the gift of the nations to come upon them, and they're going to do something. We have to, you know what, be walking in God to walk out any of the prophetic. Amen? Amen. And that's important for you to know, because guess what? That's us as a body. That's what God's doing here right now. Amen. Okay.